to sing.
I'm not criticising Latrell Mitchell for his...
Latrell Mitchell chose not to sing the national anthem during the grand, in the lead-up to the grand final as well.
That was a very
deliberate play. And he is well within his rights. And especially some of the ways that he's been called out on social media over the last
and
6 months.
In the lead-up to the grand final, we did see a number of stories about how his father used to take him off the field as a junior player when things were said which were unsavoury. And I commend his father for saying to his son, you don't have to put up with that.
And this,
100%
is, where,
right.
And this is where some empathy, being able to look at things from another perspective, comes into play. 13:53:53, you'll have to look at things from a Gerard Daffy perspective, which I think
that'll be interesting.
A lot of people will be appreciating coming up after the 9 o'clock news. Good on you, Raymond.
You're off, James.
Yeah, I'm off. Yeah. I'm off, pal. Now, so you've got a big job. Wingman Beer and General Chow's, where Eastern philosophy
meets Western
what? Thinking? Concepts.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Thinking, he's in front, by the way. Tell me in the ad break.
You are.
Milder weather will allow firefighters to get the upper hand on bushfires burning out of control across New South Wales. Hot and windy conditions saw several emergency and watch and act alerts issued yesterday. Despite the cooler conditions today, the Royal Fire Service's Greg Allen says residents still need to remain vigilant.
Very important that those in the area continue to monitor conditions and be aware that if conditions change, fire can threaten, and to know what they'll do if that's the case.
Meantime, the Victorian SES have continued the clean-up after yesterday's high winds, which saw dozens of trees come down as severe weather ravaged large parts of the state. Serial killer Ivan Milat has died at the age of 74. He died from natural causes at Sydney's Long Bay Hospital earlier this morning. He was diagnosed with terminal cancer while serving a life sentence for murdering 7 backpackers. The South Australian road toll is at 89 after a motorbike pedestrian crash on Grand Junction Road at Northfield. A 79-year-old man died at the scene. A 52-year-old man suffered life-threatening injuries and his passenger on the bike was uninjured. Police are investigating. Potentially deadly cladding has been discovered on Marvel Stadium in Melbourne. The Herald Sun reports non-compliant combustible cladding was found on the exterior of the stadium late last year. Remedial works have been carried out in some sections and the cladding has now been deemed low risk. Love where you live is the theme of this year's Graffiti Removal Day. Up to 3,000 volunteers will be working at 600 sites across New South Wales, helping to paint murals which are hoped to deter people from vandalising. Attorney General Mark Speakman says removing graffiti can cost millions of dollars.
Last year, volunteers removed over 20,000 square metres of graffiti across 500 sites. And since the event began in 2012, over 140,000 square metres of graffiti have been removed. And we estimate that saved the community about $10 million in clean-up costs.
In the US state of California, millions of residents will have their power cut as firefighters continue battling wildfires, which have forced tens of thousands to evacuate their homes. Chris Martinez has more.
Everyone evacuate, the fire's coming up!
Like tens of thousands of Southern Californians, the Ibarra family fled their home as flames and smoke filled the sky. The Tick Fire broke out Thursday north of Los Angeles and has scorched thousands of acres. Strong winds have fanned the flames, making them harder to snuff out.
When we shoot our water streams towards the fire, it just blows it back in our face. Sometimes it doesn't have the effect on the fire that we would like it to.
More than 200,000 people have taken part in Taiwan's first government-endorsed gay pride march. The BBC's Michael Bristow is there.
The turnout for the march was a record. When it was first held in 2003, there were only a few hundred participants. Taiwan's foreign ministry posted online its support for the parade. It urged people to put on their glad rags. The island is the first place in Asia to allow gay people to marry. More than 2,000 same-sex couples have taken advantage of the new law since it was introduced in May, but there's still a sizable group of people in Taiwan opposed to gay marriage.
And almost a million people took to the streets of Santiago for what was believed to be Chile's largest ever march demanding the resignation of the president. This is AIR News. England is through to its first Rugby World Cup final in 12 years after beating the New Zealand All Blacks 19-7. England coach Eddie Jones has told Channel 10 his team had to work hard.
Look, we're playing against a great team today. We had to dig deep. Now we knew we'd have to come off the line hard and keep taking away time and space from them. We managed to do that. Errors and we maybe had a few lucky bounces and got the result.
England will face the winner of tonight's meeting between Wales and South Africa. And the Western Force have won the National Rugby Championship, beating the Canberra Vikings 41-3 in Perth. The Western Sydney Wanderers have claimed bragging rights, defeating Sydney FC 1-0 in the Sydney A-League Derby. A goal from Mitchell Duke in the 19th minute sealed the deal for the side at the sold-out Western Sydney Stadium. Earlier, Adelaide United defeated the Newcastle Jets 2-1. Australian captain Aaron Finch has confirmed he has overcome a side injury and will play in today's series opener against Sri Lanka in Adelaide. But paceman Andrew Tye will miss the entire series in the following three fixtures against Pakistan because of an elbow injury. In the WBBL, wins to Sydney Thunder, Perth Scorchers and the Sydney Sixers. And to league, and the Great Britain Lions have defeated the Tonga Invitational side 14-6 in New Zealand. Australian Independent Radio News.
This is Sky Sports Radio, heard throughout New South Wales, including Brewarrina, 96.1 FM, Kempsey, 101.5 FM, Narendra, 88 FM, and Lightning Ridge, 98.5 FM.
Hi, I'm Edward from Hobart. In today's competitive environment, a business needs support to expand and grow, and the traditional banks are reluctant to lend. The OnDeck experience for me was quick and easy.
When it's time to grow your small business, you can rely on OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group have lent over $12 billion globally and are trusted by over 100,000 small business owners worldwide. For access to funds as fast as the same business day, visit ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
On Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
Get the feature packs Kia Cerato Sport from just $22,490 drive away, plus Australia's best 7-year warranty. Go to kia.com.au. In Greystanes, the bus has broken down coming onto the M4 westbound from the Cumberland Highway. In Leichhardt, Norton Street is closed between Marion and William Streets today for a festival, and the Seven Bridges Walk is on today. Some minor road closures in Lilyfield, Hunters Hill, Milsons Point and Lane Cove. It's going to get real busy in Bondi today as well with Sculpture by the Sea. Looking for space to live and time for life? Live at the Hermitage Glenswood Hills in the heart of one of Sydney's fastest growing regions. Search the Hermitage Glenswood Hills today. I'm Tim Govers, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
It's Sydney weather today, heading for a top temperature of 23 degrees, a lovely sunny day, and we'll zip around the nation. Melbourne today, showers developing, just 17 degrees. Brisbane, lovely late spring day, mostly sunny and 30 degrees. Perth, getting very warm over there, sunny day, top of 35 degrees. Adelaide, cloudy, just 19. Hobart, a shower or two and 16. In Darwin, maximum top of just 30 degrees. Today, a little bit cooler than normal for Darwin, is a shower or two, possible storm later in the day. And the nation's capital, Canberra, mostly sunny, top of 20.
The Reds, the first team to retain the FA Cup.
Great save from Perry, throws at the keeper. There, it's a direct hit. What an over. Sixers dominating. It's five. It is five. A sensational first half display from Leicester City.
The Sydney Kings still top of the pops. The only undefeated team.
But what a great start at the reborn Wonderland. It's the captain for his third goal of the season.
Cork takes off again. So quick off the mark to Tedesco. That was blinding.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And welcome back to the show. We'll... half the team is gone. Jimmy Smith has had to take off for the last hour. We'll shortly be joined by Jared Daffy to hold my hand through this final hour, but plenty going on. We've got Phil Moss coming up shortly to talk A-League and EPL. Tanya with the sports update. We've got the event cinemas quiz, and poor Jared has to play for Jimmy, so the pressure is right on him. And love to hear your thoughts on anything to do with sport. 1353 53 is the open line. SMS 0419 767 772. Love to hear your thoughts, as I said, on anything to do with sport this weekend, particularly if you like to, if you're at the Bankwest Stadium local derby last night between the Wanderers and Sydney FC, 1-0 to the Wanderers. A lot of controversy. We'll talk to Phil Moss shortly about that. But the atmosphere looked fantastic, a near sellout at Bankwest. I'm hoping Jared Daffy's on the line. Jared, good morning again.
Morning, Ray. I'm here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Now, of course, the quiz is coming up in the next half hour, and you know Jimmy's, this is, he worries about this all week, so the pressure is right on you, Jared.
Well, it is, and I mean, I'm just a little bit away from the action, so it's rather disturbing given the long list of do's and don'ts that he told me to do, but he just kept reiterating, don't let them rot you, don't let them rot you. But I don't care. I'm with you, Ray.
Ah, good on you, Jerry. Hey, Jerry, we'll get a tab update from you a little bit later as well, but we'll go to Phil Moss very shortly. Did you get a chance to watch much of the Wanderers and Sydney FC game last night?
I was watching bits and pieces of everything last night. I'd actually had a bet on the draw myself in that match, so I watched it very intently the last 10 or so minutes, but all to no avail. But massive crowd there, wasn't it?
Yeah, near sellout.
Good atmosphere.
Yeah, no, it's a great stadium to watch sport. I've been there a few times this year, and it is fantastic. And well, I dare say this man was there last night. We'll bring him in, Jared. It's our soccer expert, Phil Moss. Phil, good morning.
Good morning, Ray. Morning, Jared.
Hey, Phil, were you there last night at the local derby?
Unfortunately, I wasn't, mate, but I made my living room the pseudo Bankwest Stadium. But, mate, it was just a thrilling night at Western Sydney Wanderers, and Bankwest Stadium put the Sydney Derby firmly back on the agenda of the A-League season, and it was great to see. It was the first time I've been really looking forward to a derby in a good few years because of the form of both teams. Obviously, they got their season's off to 2-2, and it was, you know, it was the closest thing going into the game. But I think Bankwest and what that place is just phenomenal. It was a real event last night. You could see it jumping through the TV, and just a shame I couldn't be out there in person to witness it.
Well, Jared, I'll dive in here because I just want to cut to the chase with Phil Moss. Was that a goal by Sydney FC? Was it over the line?
Look, to the naked eye, Ray, yes, of course, and, you know, people will call me one-eyed, of course, because of my time at Sydney, but, look, I thought it was, but, you know, at the end of the day, if I'm Stevie Corrigan, I'm waking up this morning, I'm not looking at that, I'm not looking at the possible handball, I'm looking at how many chances we created, the fact that we didn't, you know, we didn't control things, our own destiny, by taking our chances. But that's a positive as well. If Sydney FC play like that each week and create that many chances, they're going to win a lot more football games than they lose. And Western Sydney, credit to them, full credit to them, because they really toughed it out. Mitchell Duke scored a fantastic goal off the back of a Paolo Retre mistake for Sydney FC. They capitalised on the transition moment and then really dug deep and rolled their sleeves up and showed a fight that Western Sydney haven't showed for many a season. So they really announced themselves as being back in business last night.
So what you're saying, Mossy, is that my bet on the draw should have been a winner.
Well, look, I can understand that during the week a lot of people were firming up on that draw, and I can understand why. As I said, Jared, they were probably the most evenly matched going into this game as they have been in many a season. So I can understand that. I tipped Sydney FC. I thought they were going to win it. I thought they had enough players with experience of how to win the derby. And really, they should have won on the night, but they didn't. And as I said, full credit to Western Sydney. The next derby, I think, at Jubilee will be absolutely humming again. There was talk of maybe moving it to Bankwest. I would hate to see that happen. I think fortresses are so important in football, and it builds that tribalism and the rivalry, and if Sydney FC were to move a game, that'd be akin to, you know, Liverpool moving a game to Old Trafford, and I think Robbie Slater said that on air last night. I'd hate to see it.
Yesterday I was a little bit tied up, so I tracked down the score in the EPL yesterday morning. I thought it was a basketball score. They'd put the wrong score in. Leicester 9-0.
Quite remarkable, Jared. It was, I watched the game too, and it was one of those games that was played in atrocious conditions, but everything Leicester touched turned to gold, and everything Southampton touched turned to stone. So one of those games. But I tell you what, the headline out of this game, aside from Leicester's scintillating form in front of goal, and credit to them with a Perez and Vardy hat-trick, But Ralph Hasenhüttl, the manager for Southampton, now after a game like this, of course, the first headline you read is manager's under pressure, manager will be sacked tomorrow. Yeah. The second headline, I'm pleased to say, was from the board, saying he has our absolute and full backing, and this is not a cosmetic statement. There are players, no, that's what I thought, Ray, but there are players who will go long before this manager goes. We believe in wholeheartedly in his belief in football and the style of football he wants to play. We haven't got players that suit that system yet, so be prepared for a squad overhaul. Hey. I'll tell you what, it's a game changer. It's counter-cyclical, if you like, because usually it's a manager that goes, but in this case, Southampton are sticking firm, and you'd really believe it. The conviction they came out with that statement was fantastic.
Oh, they put the players on notice, haven't they, Mossy?
That's right. Now, can you see that, right?
No, 100%. Hey, Phil, Man City, they're starting to build now, aren't they? 3-0 against Aston Villa. I know Liverpool have a game in hand. They play Tottenham tonight, but they're starting to build nicely, defending premiers.
They are, but have you ever heard of Manchester City in a relegation scrap, Ray?
No. Oh, well, no. It's been a long time.
Yeah, long time. Here's one for you. Pep Guardiola came out after the game and said, if we're going to play like we did in the first half, we'll be in a relegation scrap. Okay. Not chasing the title. If we play like we did in the second half, then we'll be up there fighting for the title. So really put his players on notice. He wasn't happy with that first half against Villa. Second half, they turned it on and showed just why they are such a great EPL side and the defending title holders. So, just a good little slap across the chin for his players last night. Don't take your after ball, because Liverpool, you know, they're 3 points and could be six if they beat Spurs ahead. Mm-hmm. And, you know, defending your title is the hard part.
And what about Matty Ryan's Brighton? Another 3 points, 3-2 win over Everton.
That's right, terrible. A couple of weeks ago, Matty Ryan watched the 94th minute goal go past his grasp for Brighton to lose. Last night, it was the opposite end of the field, much to his delight. It was an own goal in the 93rd minute by Everton that gave Brighton the points, and they were good value. It was a very seesawing game. Got to 2-2, obviously, and then Everton conceded that own goal in the 93rd minute to give Brighton the points. Very important 3 points for Brighton at home.
And Chelsea just keep winning, Phil.
Frank Lampard's era, Ray, it's gaining momentum. This is their fifth straight win in all competitions, including that Champions League win during the week. And, you know, they really are starting to hum along quite nicely. And if you think about it, you know, losing Eden Hazard in the off-season to Real Madrid as well, Lampard has made that look like a minor loss, which is quite remarkable. They're playing a really good brand of football. They're probably, behind Liverpool and Man City, they're probably the third most watchable team in the EPL at the moment, the style of football they're playing. So long may that continue. Very, very different Lampard story to Solskjaer's story, two club legends coming back to their club as managers, and obviously Solskjaer struggling at Manchester United, but Lampard really starting to gain that momentum.
And Mossy, I know you've been poring over the form guide. My boys, Liverpool, $1.50 to beat Spurs tonight. Will that happen?
We're all singing from the same song sheet today. We're all Liverpool men.
It's so good.
Gerard is very much our boys, mate. Yeah. Not just your boys. There's three of us on this chat now that we've cut
the dead wood out.
Jimmy would say.
Well, I think that's why Jimmy left the show early this morning. He saw this coming. But look, who would have thought? Spurs struggling so much after reaching that Champions League final at the back end of last season, but Liverpool was so dominant over Spurs. Their records, one loss from the last 13, eight wins, four draws. They beat Spurs both times last season. They beat them in the Champions League final. So, you know, some will say that's dominance for Liverpool. Others will say that's a great motivator for Spurs. But I think at Anfield, Liverpool will be too strong in this one.
Three other games too to complete this round. Phil, Newcastle against Wolves, Arsenal play Crystal Palace, and Jimmy's team, Man U, they've got to find a way to win against Norwich.
They do. The Arsenal-Crystal Palace one's an interesting one. That's 56th in the league at the moment. I know we're only 10 games in, but there's 1 point separating them, Arsenal the fifth and Crystal Palace the sixth, which is a great story in itself. And they're after back-to-back wins against Arsenal for the first time in their league football history. And Arsenal are yet to yet to not score, if that makes sense, against Crystal Palace at home in the last 19 encounters. So right. You would expect goals to be in this one. Arsenal, I think, will be too strong, but only just. I think Crystal Palace will put up a good fight. And Unai Emery's had to come out during the week and, I guess, justify his attacking brand of football, because in the top six teams, I think Arsenal are the second lowest scoring team behind, you guessed it, Crystal Palace. So I don't expect there to be a lot of goals in this one, but I think Arsenal will get home by the odd goal.
And Mossy, put things into context for me. Last night's win by the Wanderers over Sydney FC. Obviously, the derby's back in town big time, but are they the real deal, the Wanderers? Can they win the title?
Oh, it's very early to say that, Jared, but, I think they're definitely showing all the good signs. I'm looking forward to seeing Muller get into that side. He's a creative midfielder / winger who likes to play inside. They obviously lost Majewski, who was going to be their real go-to creative midfielder. He's out for the season. So I think until we see how Muller, gets in the side and what sort of player he is, his highlights reel looks phenomenal. Mm. Then you could go ahead and say that they're building towards being able to threaten for that title. They're coming from a long way back. The Wanderers haven't had good years the last three seasons away from home. But you just sense they've got their 12th man back now. That crowd will build. It was 28,500 last night, so there's not a lot of standing room left at Bankwest. But you can see they're starting to resemble their manager, Marcus Babbel. When they're on the pitch, he was a fighter. He was a winner. And you could see that shining through last night. So they're very good signs, but I'm not prepared yet to say that they're going to challenge the likes of Sydney FC, Perth, for the title at the end of the season.
Yeah, it was interesting, wasn't it, Phil, because I got home and saw most of the second half, and the one thing I noticed, even though Sydney FC were dominating territorially, was defensively the Wanderers players were putting their body on the line, and there was a real spirit there. Hey, Adelaide United had a big week. They won the FFA Cup, and then they backed up beating the Jets 2-1 away. And Robbie Fowler, first home game for the Roar, wasn't the result he wanted, losing 1-0 against Melbourne Victory.
That's right, Ray. And Adelaide had to come from behind. So that's a massive effort to go to Newcastle, which is a tough place to go, and go down a goal and then come back and win the game 2-1. And Riley McGree, who was a Newcastle player, left to go to Adelaide. You remember him being famous for the Scorpion kick at that very ground in the semi-final a couple of seasons ago. And, he scored two well-taken goals and got Adelaide back on track. But that midweek performance and result in the FFA Cup final was absolutely phenomenal. No one saw that coming. Mm-hmm. Melbourne City were doing well in the A-League after two rounds. Adelaide yet to win a game. And then didn't they turn it on in front of their home fans at Cooper Stadium? And, got the win yesterday, which is a perfect week for them. And Melbourne Victory, Andrew Naboot scored the goal for Melbourne Victory to get them home, and then went off with what looks like an injury that will keep him out for 2 to 4 weeks, which is unfortunate for Marco Kurtz, but very important for Kurtz to get his first 3 points in Melbourne Victory.
Hey, Phil, before we let you go, we'll get Jerry to chime in here. Mossy's multi for this weekend?
Well, I've believe it or not, I've already picked it and got it up.
Oh, well done. That's handy.
Which is great. But that was on Friday. But if you look at the overnight games, I'm going to go with Liverpool and Manchester United. Liverpool into Manchester United. Liverpool beat Spurs at Anfield, and Manchester United to get the points over Norwich away, which won't be an easy game, but I just think Manchester United will have too much for Norwich in this one.
What are the odds there, Jared?
Liverpool 150, Man U 185, so I guess that works out to around about the $2.50 quote if you're taking
that's
little multi tonight.
Not
a massive one, but I'm on a roll, so I'll stick to the basics.
Good on you, Phil. I appreciate it, mate. Where are you calling from, by the way, Phil?
Well, I'm down at Rat Park on the Northern Beaches, about to watch my daughter compete in a cheerleading competition.
Okay, you're doing the important things in life. Good on you, mate. Father of the year, you.
Love it. Go Liverpool. Come on, boys.
Thanks, Phil. Talk soon, mate.
See you, boys.
There we go, Phil Moss. Now it's time for Tanya's Sports Update.
Dynamics Indications, Gay and Adrian offer a colt to own with Aquas Farm. By Vancouver, Gay trained him to be the Golden Slipper winning champion two-year-old. From Danglissa Girl, daughter of the Gay Train Group 1 winner Danglissa, and closely related to Gay's Group 3 winner Sweet Redemption and Gay Stakes winner Unite and Conquer. Join our Dynamic Gay and Adrian and Aquas team for $9,400 a share. Visit dynamicsindications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 336808.
In the courtyard of a pub, some people get to talking and decide to split a bag of peanuts or go halves in a bowl of chips. Others consider sharing something bigger, like a cheese board. Then there are those who go, how about everybody chips in and buys a racehorse? They soon realise that's unlikely. So they get excited about taking out a group quaddie together instead. We're those people. Tab, long may we play.
Gamble responsibly. Call Gambler's Help, 1-800-858-858.
Tintin in America, winner of 5 Group 1 races. Already the sire of an Australian 2-year-old Colts record holder and Australian 3-year-old Phillies record holder. Tintin in America, standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales. Visit yerribee.com.au.
Sydney's newest must-see home renovation destination is now open. Wide-line windows and doors, state-of-the-art Liverpool showroom features an impressive range of residential, designer and architectural designs on display. Experience window shopping like never before. See how your home will look and feel with our stunning contemporary 310 square metre showroom, plus find solutions to improve energy efficiency, acoustics, privacy and security. Wide-line Liverpool will bring your home reno vision to life. Located at 12 Home Pride Avenue, Warwick Farm, open 6 days. On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, a sports update with Tanya Thomas.
February 2017, Western Sydney got a win over Sydney FC in the A-League. Captain Mitch Duke scored the only goal of the derby in the 19th minute to help the Wanderers to a 1-0 victory in front of almost 29,000 at Bankwest Stadium. The win gives the Wanderers a 3-0 start to the season. Meantime, Adelaide came from a goal down to beat Newcastle 2-1. It's taken 32 years, but England has at last defeated New Zealand at a Rugby World Cup. The England side beat the All Blacks last night 19-7 in the semi-final, knocking the favourites out. It was an unusually lacklustre performance from the Kiwis. England scored in the first 90 seconds of the match. They'll meet the winner of tonight's semi between Wales and South Africa in the final next Saturday night. The Sydney Kings are the only undefeated team in the NBL this season, going 5-0 last night with a 94-79 win over Brisbane at Qdos Bank Arena. Melbourne United recorded its first win of the season with a come-from-behind 104-98 win over New Zealand. Tab Everest winning jockey Glenn Boss's chances of winning a record-equalling fourth Melbourne Cup seems certain to be put on hold for at least 12 months after he was suspended on a careless riding charge aboard Attention Run at Randwick yesterday. The 13-day period runs from November 3 to 16, meaning he won't be able to ride the favourite, Constantinople, in the Cup Tuesday week. He said he will appeal. Still with racing, and Japanese superstar Lisgrasseur made the rest of the field look second-rate with a world-class performance to win the Cox Plate yesterday at Moonee Valley. Tonga Invitational beat Great Britain 14-6 in the Rugby League Test in Hamilton last night after leading 12-0 at half-time. Britain will take on New Zealand next weekend while the Tongan team play the Kangaroos. The Hockey Roos have qualified for next year's Tokyo Olympics after defeating Russia in a qualifying tournament in Perth 9-2 on aggregate. It's the 11th consecutive Olympic Games for the Aussie women's team. Sally Fitzgibbons has all but bowed out of the World Surfing League title race after being eliminated in the quarterfinals of the Rip Curl Pro Tournament in Portugal. Alex Diminor defeated American Riley Opelka in the Swiss Indoors Tennis semi-final to set up a decider with the top seed Roger Federer. Federer beat Stefanos Tsitsipas in straight sets for his 50th win of the season. Meantime, the season-ending $12 million WTA finals begin tonight in China. Ash Barty takes on Belinda Bencic in her first pool match. Also in her group, Naomi Osaka and Petra Kvitova. Regardless of the result, Ash will finish the year as world number one. In motorsport, qualifying for today's today's Australian MotoGP at Phillip Island will get underway this morning, only 4 hours before the big race. The exposed Phillip Island circuit was buffeted by strong wind gusts and rolling rain off Bass Strait yesterday, resulting in a high-speed crash. Authorities met and decided to postpone it until today. While in supercars, Scott McLaughlin can wrap up the title today. The equation being a little complicated, he needs a 600-point lead over Shane Van Gisbergen after the 300-kilometre race on the Gold Coast. And Max Verstappen is pole for the Mexican F1 Grand Prix. Dan Ricciardo will start from 12th. Manchester City has moved back to second in the English Premier League with a 3-0 win over Aston Villa. In other matches, Brighton 3, Everton 2. It was nil all Watford and Bournemouth. 1-1 West Ham and Sheffield United. Burnley 2, Chelsea 4. Game 4 of baseball's World Series today at around 11 o'clock with Washington hosting Houston. The Capitals lead the best of 7-game series 2-1. And boys, the PGA Tour is in Japan this weekend. It's the first time that the tour has taken a tournament there. Unfortunately, there's been torrential rain, flooding and mudslides in towns east of Tokyo, which has affected the tournament. Thursday was a washout, so the tournament will finish on Monday. Friday was round one, and round two yesterday unusually was played in front of, is one of your favourite words, Ray, sans spectators. There was absolutely nobody there, which was quite a strange atmosphere, and it was apparently the second time that Tiger Woods has played in front of no spectators.
There you go.
Oh, I thought you were...
No, I was going to say, Jared, you reckon I'd listen to my beautiful wife more, wouldn't you, Jared?
I would, Ray. Actually, I was going to ask you a personal question.
Mm-hmm.
When you come home from a hard day at the office like yesterday, a long day, there were stewards' inquiries, etc., after the last,
yeah.
and you come in the front door, you park the car, you come in the front door, and Tanya's there waiting for you. Mm. Does she give you a 5 or 6 minute spiel on the update for sporting events around the world for the day?
She delivers it so well. She does, because, and I was going to say that, Tan, please pronounce that Cox Plate winner again.
Oh.
Lisgracier. Gee. You reckon I would have listened to her earlier, Jared, and got it right? I've mucked it up all week.
Outstanding.
Can I just quickly go back to Tiger for a sec? He said, I made a couple of putts today and I went to put my hand up and I'm like, don't go putting your hand up, there's no one clapping. So that would be like a habit for him. Every time he puts a shot, he'd just go to put his hand up. Uh-oh,
there's no one there.
Embarrassment. Yeah.
It's actually interesting, that tournament. A mate of mine did an article on this earlier in the week that I think the last 3 or 4 years, and Tan's right, of course, that this is the first US PGA Tour event to be held in Japan, but there's so many events called off or shortened in Japan at this time of the year. Perhaps it was the wrong time of the year to be playing this event there,
well,
given the weather.
Let's hope the Olympics get through without too many blemishes next
impact
year.
Impact the World Cup. Is Olympics on about this time, or when's it on?
A bit earlier. If Tiger wins this tournament today, he will equal Sam Snead's PGA record of 82 wins.
Phenomenal.
And he's on top. He's on top at the moment. Sorry, Jared, you've probably got that, haven't you?
Yeah. I was just going to say to Ray, just on that, last night, you may have missed it, but right at the start of that match, obviously that the rugby union semi-final I'm talking about, and parts of the ground looked like they were dug up, and they actually said that the night before most of that ground was underwater.
It's extraordinary year how that got through the tournament just. But did you see the haka and what the English players did?
No, I didn't.
They formed a V and
they stared down the
and
blocks.
They were actually smirking a little bit, as you would. Mm. You would as if to say, you know, that doesn't bother me, you can do whatever you want.
Well, but plenty to smirk about now.
The referees actually told them they were too close and they had to move back from them. Why?
I might have this wrong, but I think in the Eddie Jones era at the Wallabies used to almost get in the face of the All Blacks when they did the haka. Am I right, Jared?
Yeah, they did, for sure.
Certain. That was maybe Eddie Jones' little thinking. Hey, Tan, as always, outstanding. Thank you for that. There you go, Jared. And when I do get home, she does, the first thing she does is say, right, so-and-so's won, this is happening, Kings are in front, so very lucky man.
Did you fall on your feet there?
No, it's just one of the great mysteries of life, I've got to tell you.
And that.
We'll go to callers, Jared. Sean's on the line. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, people. How are we this morning?
Terrific. Mate, what do you got for Sean?
Well, I'm not sure on the qualifiers of your tour topic, but I'll give it a go anyway. There's two that I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
One, when Michael Phelps said he spoke us like stars in the Olympics, and we hammered him.
Yeah.
And
at the 2000 Olympics,
Yep, 2000 Olympics. And the second one, when they had the Brabham 11 versus Ward 11 1994, and Zoe Goss got out Brian Lara and Jeffy Dujon.
Didn't she bowl Brian Lara first ball, I think, Zoe Goss?
I think it was first, second ball, yeah. Yeah,
I remember that now.
It was a great moment in cricket, wasn't it?
Yeah, Brian, yep. The great Brian. Good call, Sean. Well done. You're in the running there. Thanks for that. I remember that, Jared, because it was massive news because Brian Lara was probably the best batsman in the world at the time, wasn't he? Came off that double 100 at the SCG the previous year.
They can all be beaten, Ray.
True, Bradman.
Except Winks.
That's true, yeah. Got Chris on the line. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Ray. Just on yesterday's races with the barrier mishap and the horse running fifth and being declared a non-runner. Yet if it runs second and you've got your money on it, it's beaten ahead, you lose your money.
Yeah, it was a very controversial one, but I think in that regard, the stewards determined that she was denied a fair start pretty in pink and would have positioned up where the winner was in the speed map. And because she couldn't obtain that position because she was slow away, they declared her a non-runner. And in that instance, Jared, then people who have backed that horse at least get their money back.
They do. It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because there have, and Chris is right, there have been several instances down through the years where horses have run a place and similar sets of circumstances, yet they have been deemed a runner. Some of that's related to prize money. There's it's not a defined rule, unfortunately, and it's just one of those anomalies that pops up. Thankfully, it doesn't pop up too often.
Exactly, yeah.
Can I just have a what if?
Chris, yeah.
My one is, what if the famous underarm bowling incident that we had Rod Marsh behind the stumps shouting out, no, 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 what are you doing? I always wonder, what if he'd actually just got up before the ball was delivered, stood at the crease and said, no, no, no. And if they continued, he'd walked off the field. And I just wonder how that would have been received at the time and how the whole incident would be remembered now. And if he ever thought about doing that.
Yeah, well, if you remember the vision...
He was pretty angry.
Yeah, he actually folded his arms, didn't he, Rod Marsh? He didn't want to be a part of that. So that's a really good call, Chris. That's thought-provoking. I tell you what, I can remember watching that live, Jared, and with my late father, and thinking, what is going on here? That's way back in 1980, and it's still as vivid now as it was as if it happened yesterday.
Yeah, actually, I'm in the same boat. I forget where I was, but I was watching it, and you just think, well, that's not in the spirit of anything, really. I know we got the points, but
it was
un-Australian.
Hollow feeling. I remember Marsh folded his own. Richie Beno's commentary was outstanding, and the Kiwis have never let us forget it, Jared Evans.
No, they're dirty on it.
Exactly. We'll go to an ad break, but please call now for the Event Cinemas quiz. The score update, I think, Jared, was 26-17, I think I was in front.
Well, let's try and make it 27-17.
Okay, we'll call now for the Event Cinemas quiz on 13:53. We'll be back after this break.
What are we needy? Here's what one of the USA's leading drivers, Jody Jameson, had to say about him after he retired as the fastest horse on the planet.
What are we needy was one of the best horses I ever drove, bar none. Some of the fastest quarters a horse has ever paced. What are we needy paced those quarters. He's come quarters in 25 seconds. Tall, beautiful horse, clean-legged, powerful, powerful strides, and an amazing brain, which is very important when you're racing in Australasia. Just an amazing animal, and I'm sure he'll do wonders here down under.
My name's Colin and I'm from Victoria. If you need a loan to help your business quickly, call OnDeck. I found it a very quick and simple process with very quick results. They've been great over the past year, helping me through a sticky time when the bank said no.
If, like Colin, you need money for your business and fast, apply with OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. You'll know if you're approved in as quickly as 2 hours, and it's possible to get funding the same business day. Visit ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Hallelujah, sports fans! Vossi here with big news, important news, digital news! The Sports Year Diary is going digital in 2020. Now, I know some of us have struggled with a digital transition. I know some of us still think an iPad is women's business. The Sports Year subscription, though, has all of Sports Year's highlights, the best of racing, the best of league, and best of it all, so you can plan it right. Order online at sportsyear.com.au. Just click on the subscribe button. Sports Year, plan it right.
To get the most out of your spring racing experience, be sure to visit the Doncaster Hotel, Sydney's true home of racing. Located just a 5-minute stroll down Doncaster Avenue from Ramwick Racecourse, the Doncaster is the place to be and be seen pre and post race for Sydney's racing crowd. Take advantage of the Doncaster's full tap facilities. Enjoy a meal in their renowned restaurant or just dance and sing the night away to the music of DJ Carbolic. Get the good oil and a cold beer at the Doncaster Hotel, where racing people go.
Wingman Beer have got your back. They're so excited by the new Wingman Mid-strength, crisp, clean, never bitter lager. They're putting out a challenge, Jared, because next time you pick up your regular beer, grab a single can of Wingman, test it back-to-back with your beer, and, Jared, if it's not the cleanest, tastiest, crispiest lager you've ever had, take it back, and Wingman will refund your money. You can't lose, can you, Jared?
Well, you're right. That's a fabulous deal. But more importantly, I've been quite taken by the face of Wingman beer.
That's Jimmy, isn't it?
No, Glenn Munsey. Glenn Munsey.
Jimmy's a big promoter of all time.
He's wrapping it. It's good. But there's a little plus with all of this, because isn't there some deal with Dan Murphy? And we've got a Dan Murphy's near us.
Correct. Well, I'm about to say that. Go to wingmanbeer.com.au to see where they've landed. And if you can't find it at your local, give them a call on 1300 45 beer, or, Jared, go to danmurphys.com.au and they will deliver it for free. Take the Wingman Challenge today. Enjoy responsibly.
It's going to be a very warm day here.
Hit again. Brilliantly taken. What a hat-trick. Christian Pulisic. A day he will never forget.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Now, Jared, the most important part of the show is coming up. It's a coin toss for the quiz, and because you're a guest today, you've got to trust me. I'll let you call, and good luck with this, Jared. Here you go. Heads or tails?
Tails.
There it goes. It's great radio, this. It's fallen all over the place, Steve.
It didn't bounce very much.
Tails. Tails it is, mate.
I win.
Yep. You can go first or second. Your choice, my friend.
I'm going to go first.
Okay. Well, I think we've got John on the line to play with Jared. John, good morning.
Morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Terrific. Away you go, Jared. Best of luck here.
I hope you're up for this, John.
So do I.
They're very, very difficult questions. Question one. Name one of the two teams playing at International Stadium at Yokohama this evening.
That's the rugby union you're talking about, isn't it?
It could well be.
Oh, Tonga.
John.
Where's Yokohama Stadium independent?
South Africa and Wales.
Oh, thank you.
You're on the right track there, John.
Question two.
And off the rails.
Well, that's a Jimmy start, that one. Question two. We'll get this. Which US town was tennis champion Serena Williams born in? A. Saginaw, Michigan. B. Starkville, Mississippi. C. Saddle Butte, Montana.
Could you repeat those, please? Somebody was talking in the background.
Saginaw, Michigan.
Yeah.
That's A. B. Starkville, Mississippi. C. Saddle Butte, Montana.
I'll go with A.
Oh, that'll do.
We're back.
Rock solid in the
we're
game
back.
Here.
Now, question three. We need this. Which country is hosting the F1 Grand Prix this weekend? A. Mexico. B. Brazil. C. Canada. You there, John?
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm just thinking. I'll go Brazil.
Oh, dear.
Oh, one's all right. He's still in the game there.
Yeah.
Jared, hang on the line there. John, we've got Peter on the line. Peter, good morning.
Morning, Ray.
Hey, Pete, you only need one to tie, two to win. How are you feeling, mate?
Confident.
Okay, here we go. Question number one. Which A-League team is Marcus Babbel the head coach? Which A-League team is Marcus Babbel the head coach?
Can I have that question again? I didn't hear.
Yeah. Which A-League team is Marcus Babbel the head coach?
Newcastle.
Western Sydney Wanderers had a big win overnight. Here we go, Peter. This is our chance. This is a multiple choice. Question number two. Which US town was boxing legend Muhammad Ali born? A. Was it Plainville, Connecticut? B. Brownsville, New York? Or C. Louisville, Kentucky?
C.
Yeah, Louisville, Kentucky. Here we go. This is for the game, Pete. Best of luck. Which New Zealand city would you be in if you were at Westpac Stadium, which is better known as the Cape Tin? A. Is it Wellington? B. Christchurch? Or C. Hastings?
B. Christchurch.
It's A for Wellington. So we've got a tiebreaker situation here, Pete. So stay with us, mate. Here we go. The tiebreaker question. How many goals did the Greater Western Giants score in the 2019 AFL season? How many goals did they score? It's between 300 and 400 goals. 350. OK, stay on the line there. Pete, over to you, Jared.
John, how many goals did the Greater Western Sydney Giants score in the 2019 AFL season? And the figure is between 3 and 400.
Who's first, Pete or me?
Nah, Pete's already had a crack.
All right. 52.
No, it's between 300 and 400.
Oh, I thought you said 3 and 4. Yeah, okay. What was Pete's answer?
You've got to have a stab in the dark, John.
As much as okay. I want you to win, John, we can't do
right.
that.
350.
Oh, this is unprecedented. What happens now, producer Steve? It's a tie break. Oh, we'll guess again. Have another guess, John.
351.
Okay, stay on the line there, John. We'll go back to Peter. Peter, unprecedented tie there in the tiebreaker. You get a second guess. Have another crack, mate. Between 300 and 400 goals.
340.
340. You got it, Pete. Well done. Now, you know what's the problem here, Jared, is that Jimmy's going to think this is the biggest fraud of all time. But, Peter, you're over the line. Hey, Peter, where do you live, mate?
Tamworth.
Tamworth. Is there Event Cinemas quiz up your way? Event Cinemas up your way? We'll try and find one close by anyway, Pete, but stay on the line. Congratulations.
Thanks, Ray.
Hey, Jared, this is going to cause all sorts of controversy.
I've got to turn my phone off. You've got no idea of the text messages coming through from Jimmy Smith. You're part of it. You're not on here again.
It's a disaster. I can just hear he's texting already. But Event Cinemas quiz, the moment you have been waiting for is finally here. The highly anticipated blockbuster Terminator Dark Fate is now on sale with the return of the franchise creator James Cameron and its iconic star, the big man Arnold Schwarzenegger. This ultimate big screen spectacle features intense action and cutting-edge special visual effects. March into Max with VMAX and head on over to eventcinemas.com.au to grab your tickets now. So this is a disaster, Jared, absolute disaster, because the great man is going to be blowing up all week now. But that was an unprecedented tie break. Makes sense.
So what's the score now, Ray?
Actually, I don't know. I'll sort of...
Well, I think you're unbeatable.
Yeah, I think it's...
Good on you, Ray.
Line. But anyway, well, I think it's four cartons too, Jared, so we might split those. And we've got Doug on the line. Doug, good morning.
G'day, Ray. G'day, Jared. How are you?
Terrific, Doug.
Good, Doug.
What do you got for us, Doug?
I just want to talk about Eddie Jones, mate. He coaches Japan and coaches England. Do you reckon we'll get him back for Australia, coach?
It's funny, isn't it, Jared, because he was sort of unceremoniously dumped, wasn't he, as a Wallabies coach all those years
ago? Does he get to a stage now where if they win the World Cup say the people from Australia go to him and say, please come back, and he tells them to go jump in the river?
Well, he might do that, but then again, does he think, like, oh, I've been away so long, wouldn't mind coming home now? I'm sort of hoping that's the case because it's you know, he's such an outstanding coach. Everywhere he goes, he brings success. Now, I know... It was a disappointing end to his Wallabies tenure, but he always seems to have competitive football teams.
And you can't argue with his record now.
It's been phenomenal. Yeah. Hey, Jerry, we're going to do a TAB update, so we'll go straight into it today. We've got some huge NBA and NBL games on.
We've got a lot of NBA to come. Just looking for a mover today, and there's been pretty good support for the Pacers to beat Cleveland. They're $1.47 away, or minus 5.5. And the other line that's moved, Houston, New Orleans, and the Rockets, minus 10 out to minus 12 points. So there's a couple of moves on those games to come. NBL, we've got two games today and one tomorrow night. Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, $1.42. The 36ers are $2.90, a line of 5.5 points. And Illawarra take on Perth. Illawarra smashed on Thursday night, I think it was, and Perth had a big victory as well over the Phoenix. Perth have shortened up significantly here, $1.50 into $1.47. Illawarra $2.70, a line there of 4.5 points. And tomorrow night, Cairns at home to Melbourne. Cairns had that shock win last week over Perth. They weren't too bad against the 36ers, and there has been money for them to win this game at $2.45. We've got Melbourne at $1.55, a line there of 4.5 points with that plus into $1.80.
Terrific. Women's Bigs Bash continues today, Jared, and also The international cricket games of the summer. Australia take on Sri Lanka at Adelaide Oval in the T20.
We've got three women's big bash games today. The Scorchers at $1.78. The Strikers at $2. The Heat $1.55. The Hurricanes at $2.40. That's a 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock game. And the Thunder $1.60. The Stars at $2.30. And I know we've spoken about this before. There's huge amounts of interest in women's big bash now. And that game this afternoon, and you're quite right, it's sort of snuck up on us all, this one. It's in Adelaide, and Australia at $1.15, which is pretty short for a T20 game. Sri Lanka at $5.50. We've got all of the normal bet types open on that. The Australian high bat, and just a reminder again, if you do have a bet and your player's not in the starting 11, whether it be batting or bowling, you do get a full refund there. Dave Warner, the favourite at $4. Aaron Finch looks like he's over that little niggle that he had the other day at $4.20. Steve Smith at $4.50.
And for motor racing fans, plenty on with the supercars and the MotoGP.
Yeah, the supercars. Wink Up and Lowndes won race one on the Gold Coast yesterday. They won't be far off heading around today, qualifying to see who draws all that all-important draw at the front of the grid. But at the moment, we've got Van Gisbergen and Tander, the favourites at $3. Wink Up and Lowndes at $3.50, along with McLaughlin and Premet. That was the trifecta yesterday, with Wink Up and Lowndes beating McLaughlin, Van Gisbergen third, and Waters and Caruso, $9 next in line there.
And the baseball continues today. The World Series, the Nationals leading the Astros 2-1 into Game 4. Who's favourite there? It's at Washington today.
It's $1.90 Washington. Slight outsiders, the Astros at $1.92. I can tell you that most of the TAB customers are all over the Astros, although they're slight outsiders there. And to win it, the Nationals $1.80, Astros $2. So a pretty important game today in the overall picture, isn't it? The Astros desperate for that win.
What are the holds like on the baseball?
Huge.
Oh,
huge.
Really?
Have you heard of Mattress Mac?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He's lobbed yesterday before yesterday's game and had another $2 million on the Astros. So all up, he's had over $12 million on the Astros to win the series or some of their individual games.
He's the big furniture franchise or something, isn't it?
Yeah. He had a competition before, well and truly before the series got underway, that if you spent more than $3,000 at his... Mm. Well, he must sell more than mattresses. That's a pretty expensive mattress. $3,000 at his store, and the Astros won the World Series, you'd get your money refunded, however much you spent, anything at all. And he claims he's on the Astros to win $19 million US,
wow.
And he'll still be better off if they lose.
Unbelievable. More money than sense. You just can't imagine. EPL continues. Four games tonight. Newcastle Wolves, Arsenal, Crystal Palace, Liverpool, Tottenham and Norwich against Man U.
Yeah, Newcastle 290. We've got a draw there at 3. The Wolves slight favourites at 260. Arsenal short, $1.50. Draw 450. Palace at 6. Our boys, Liverpool 150. Draw 450. Tottenham at $6, and in the final game, there's been a bit of interest in Norwich at $4. We've got a draw there at $3.80, and I guess still questionable Man U's form, isn't it? They're the favourites at $1.85.
Exactly, and to win the Premiership, win the Premier League this year, Liverpool favourites or still Man City?
They were favourites, so $1.65. I'm just not quite sure whether we've updated that on the back of last night's matches. We have. It's actually $1.90 Liverpool, $1.95 Man City, so nothing in it now.
Yeah, fair enough. We'll go to our calls shortly. Some text messaging from our listeners here, Jared. This is one's from Kenny. Average day of racing in Sydney yesterday, rain. You missed seeing a real A-grader win the Cox Plate. Sucked in. Fair enough. She was outstanding, wasn't she? Lise Grassi. I think I finally got it right. And the Japanese just might make the clean sweep because Murder Glass has to be hard to beat in the Melbourne Cup, Jared.
Well, I guess, Ray, given that obviously they've overcome these quarantine regulations or laws that precluded the Japanese runners for so many years, there might just be a constant stream of them down here going forward.
That's
for the Caulfield Cup, Cox Plate, etc., and they might just keep winning.
Yeah, and they might even come for our Autumn Carnival now because
good point.
Races like the Queen Elizabeth Stakes look right up their alley. This is from Ian. Greg Norman, 1986, PGA, Bob Tway, bunker shot. And holes it, and it was a disaster. And then Larry Mizer's chip in against the Shark in the 87 Masters. If only what might have been for Greg Norman, Jared. Remember those again like it was yesterday, weren't they?
I was just going to say, it seems like it was yesterday. And you can't claw back time, but what may have been there, eh?
Oh, exactly. Our good friend Scooter, he's chimed in here. And I reckon he's nailed this, Jared. How can Jimmy expect a one-team attitude when he just bails mid-show? Like Jimmy, I'm also leaving early. I've got the AGM at the local, but the difference is my commitment. I'll have my earpiece in so as not to let the show down. Can't Jimmy, or couldn't Jimmy, finish the show in transit from Scooter? Now, they're very, very good points.
Look, I'm not here to bag Jimmy. I know everybody else does. But you know what? I'm going to bag Jimmy. Scooter's right.
If
Jimmy was fair dinkum, he could have done it from the car. The phones work in the car.
Exactly right.
I've done it before.
100%. We've got Max on the line. Jared, Max, good morning.
Oh, hello, Ray. Hello, Jared.
How are you, Max? What have you got for us, mate?
Mate, you know how the All Blacks do the hark. I was thinking, why don't teams like Australia and England respond to the haka with a dance of our own?
Mm.
You know, something like a tap dance to Singing in the Rain.
But just on that, I mean, the haka is the haka.
Mm.
And people are captivated by it, but I don't find anything wrong at all with the opposition team getting in the face of those, because isn't it it's a stance,
it is
the haka, and surely you should be allowed to create your own stance or whatever, not be intimidated by it all.
Well, isn't that the whole point? Not get intimidated by the haka. So if they want to get in the face of the All Blacks, isn't that an opposition team's right?
Without being disrespectful, I mean, if they went and did a lap of the ground or something like that, say, hang on, boys, that's not in the spirit of it, but to have a stare down or something.
Because I think there's been times when teams have turned their back on the haka. That's disrespectful.
That's not
but
on.
If a team's standing there and they're getting in the face of the All Blacks, I don't see any real issue with that, but it is fantastic to watch. I know it's a massive cultural thing in New Zealand, and it's just a part of the All Blacks aura. We've got the great man Scotty Foster on the line, and I want to know if we sold that car last week. Jared, Scotty, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Ray, and hello, Jared. Welcome to the show, mate.
Scotty.
He's doing a good job, isn't he, Scotty? Seriously.
He is. Jimmy might have to regret it, like having a little early mark.
Might be Jimmy, might be me. But hey, Scotty, did we have any luck last week?
No luck last week, right? But with only 1 week to go till Derby weekend and, of course, the Melbourne Cup, it's going to be a great time of year, so I need to sell some cars. And we've got another very cheap car on sale for the listeners. Today we've got a 2012 Subaru Impreza hatch, and it's an outstanding-looking vehicle. It comes with climate control air conditioning, ABS brakes, brake assist, 6 airbags, traction control, cruise control, automatic stop-start, reverse camera, 16-inch alloy wheels. It's got fog lights. And this one even has the tow pack, so it's packed with safety and comfort options. It also has the convenience of the all-wheel drive, so if you want to go away camping or on trips to the snow, then you don't have to worry about any chains at all. This car is in fantastic condition. It's on special for the listeners today at just $8,990. Drive away. That's right. We're going to pay the stamp duty for you. So it's $8,990. Drive away. Give us a call now on 963750024. Or go to the website www.fosterscualitycars.com.au. This car's cheap, so make sure you mention Sky Sports Radio to get this great drive-away price, because you just don't get cars this good for this price.
It'll be out the door today, I reckon, Jerry. But, and also, Scotty, you can help with finance too.
We certainly can. If it's finance you're after, we've got access to a number of lenders. This allows us to get the best possible rates, but also allows us to help a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car or a truck. So if you've had credit issues in the past, then now is the time to give us a call. If you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid defaults, starting a new business and need a work vehicle, even Uber drivers, then go to our website, www.fosterscualitycars.com.au, or give us a call now on 963750824.
And Scotty, how's the partnership with Mick Appleby and the Good Truck Wholesalers going?
Mate, Mick's going great. He's a great bloke. He is getting rid of a lot of trucks. So for those that don't know, we now supply trucks as well as cars to all our listeners. And these are the cheapest trucks in Australia. So give us a call on 963750024 and let us know what sort of a truck you're after. If we don't have one to suit, and we'll find the best one available at the best possible price.
Terrific. Hey, Jared, our good friend Scotty's become a proud dad of sorts, because his mare he part owns gave birth to a wonderful colt by Frosted last week, and there's a terrific story behind this, Jared.
Is there?
Well, hopefully Scotty will tell us.
Yeah, boys, a great story. And, Ray, I've seen the little paper
The little article, yeah.
Story you did on it today, mate. Thank you very much. It's a great little story. This little colt, he was a triplet in the womb, and unfortunately the other two siblings of him passed away.
It's
or
nature's way. It's nature's way, isn't it? Yeah. So.
But he survived, and he was actually born with a near-perfect love heart on his head, and he's going to be one for the punters are going to love to follow. He's got this beautiful love heart, and I reckon it's a great story. So a big thank you to Damien Toos and the Daly team for providing us with another great file. And because Daly are having so much success at the track, we're going to head back there this year and take advantage of their great deals on other stallions, and we're going to go to Holler this year. So hopefully we get another good little foal from another Daly stallion. But boys, this one here, I think I'm going to try and open up a social media page and let the punters follow this one, because
why not?
I think he's going to be something special, because he's already a miracle making it.
Exactly.
As a triplet.
Yeah, well, let the punters perhaps come up with a name for him, Scotty.
That would be a great idea, to run a competition on the Facebook page or something like that, Ray. That would be
enough.
A great idea.
And you want to send out a quick happy birthday, mate?
I certainly do, to my father-in-law, Trevor Pearson. He loves his horses, he loves his show, and I've got a little...